We're broadcasting live this week from radio from UMass Dartmouth down here in Fall River for the Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship. I am David Soper with Wicked Local Marketing, and we are my co-host is Peter Meyerson.
It's great to be here, David, and it's a really wonderful facility, and we have a great guest today.
We do. We have a very innovative thinker, a very exciting guest, Winthrop Sargent from Winthrop Capital Advisors. He goes by Win. Win, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got started in your business.
You know, I'm a mergers and acquisitions CFO. I kind of shy away from the compliance side because, to me, that's not exciting. I think that's something that everybody can logically do. It's all about finding answers.
So how long have you been finding answers for these troubled companies or sometimes startups?
Since 2000.
So, wow. So 2000 had a bumpy economy, and then in 2008 we had a bumpy economy. So you tell us some of the projects that you've worked on during some of those tight economic times.
Usually it's something, can I find an answer? And the answer is, it could be as simple as a management team. It could be as simple as finding something in a company's general ledger. You know, all of a sudden now we have a real deal here in play. Finding a common sense underwriting component that makes everybody want to do this deal. So it could be a floating hotel in the Caspian Sea. It could be a wind turbine project. And I've done a group of them, or a solar. Usually anything that's new, that seems to be kind of my niche, or something that the traditional banking community doesn't feel they can do anymore. With today's rules and regulations, that seems to encompass everything.
Well, how do people come to find you?
Usually it's a banker who says,
I can't do that?
Yeah, can you give me a hand? Can you make this thing happen? So that I find an answer, and then a couple years down the road, now they have a ready and waiting, client. Reputation, accounting firms, but usually it's, reputation's a past client tells a friend of theirs. Nothing really specific. But usually, because I came from the banking world, a lot of bankers, will call me up or refer, here, go talk to Win.
It's interesting. So what did you work for, a big bank or a small bank, or what did you do for the bank?
So give us
a sense of what your background was.
Yeah, so I started with the Rockland Trust Company and went through their management training program, and it was in the retail side of running a branch. And then I left and worked for, Chaumet and the Bank of Boston, and it was in the middle market, and, small business lending units. So I really kind of covered it all.
So you have a really good grounding as a banker.
Yeah, I would say so. But one friend of mine who explains what I do, he said he's got skill sets that nobody else can seem to match these days, because, your average banker, can they go in into a company and make all the journal entries and clean up the books and produce a financial statement? The answer is no, most of them can't. So based upon that premise, are they really qualified to be, a credit officer, or really find out the appropriate, structure and niche of how to solve a problem?
So do you find money for people? Is that the point?
Yeah, usually it's involved in the capital raise, make something happen. In 2014, a banker calls me up and says, there's a company, I want you to help the CEO. It's owned by a fund in Monaco, and they want to sell it. The crazier the stories, the more I seem to get involved into them. They wanted to sell it. The CEO was afraid that he was going to lose his job because they were going to sell this thing overseas. And or sell to, you know, a private equity firm. In the end, he became a 75% owner, because it was clear to me the guy was a great operator, and organized the senior lender, the mezzanine lender, and a sub-debt piece.
So that's what you organized?
Yeah.
Interesting. So do you then sit on the board of companies like this?
Not usually. I've kind of changed my model a little bit. Like right now I'm working with a company that's got a patent. So you go into an office building and it's got that white fob card.
RF reader?
Yeah.
Okay.
That technology is so old. And it's riddled with security issues. So there's a company in Hingham called Deja Vu Concepts, and it's a cell phone-driven application, and the system recognizes who you are by the cell phone, and opens up the door. Now there's all these other different security issues, you know, adaptations to it. Going to ask you a PIN or a personal, you know, to really heighten the security aspect of it. You can't break into this encryption, or, you know, nobody's done it so far. I guess at some point somebody's going to find a way, but
no question about that.
Yeah. So not only is it, you know, the current technology right now, but it's also cheaper. It's more economical. It makes so much sense. As a former colleague of current colleague of mine, who was a former group head of cybersecurity at Lockheed Martin, said, "This is the basis for cybersecurity." So I'm raising money for that company right now as we go and market across the country, and there's a lot of people very, very interested in what we have. So I'm going to be the CFO of that, and I'll probably have a board role.
That's a different model for you.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like traditional banking credits.
You never know. One of our first clients has a bank reference letter that, you know, would knock a horse down. It's so strong, and when I show it to bankers, they kind of scratch their head saying, "Yeah, it's a startup, but look who their first customer is, and you know, we don't have any debt, and it was all equity of, you know, creating this product." So we tend to find whatever that niche is, because let's face it, checking the boxes doesn't work. This business will always continue to be an art. Lending money or investing money. And what I try to encourage people or teach, a lot of what I do is teaching and saying that, for young people trying to start something, just because you have the greatest idea in the world doesn't mean to think that, you know, you're going to be the CEO going forward, because investors would rather invest in a poor product with a strong management team versus a great product and a weak management team. Or, you know, the question is always asked, who are these guys?
So do you give advice about the management team when you...
Try to, yes.
So yeah. So your role is expanding well beyond that of a typical, you know, money finder.
Correct. Every transaction, every deal is different. So when you ask me, what do I exactly do? Who knows? You know, tomorrow can be different.
Well, we're on the air, so we have to ask you that question. Come on. <you know? laughs>
It's fun. And a lot of times I say it's really fun. Is a lot of times it's, you know, I get paid pretty well for doing this. But a lot of time when you make things happen, that's, to me, sometimes it's more gratifying than money and this or that and helping people. So, you know, we're all in the service business.
Yeah, no, we all are. Do you have any employees?
Just me.
So you got tired of having people that you have to supervise? Or you just find it's more efficient to just do it by yourself?
Yeah. And if I could teach somebody, you know, it would take a long, long time for what I know. It's best managed this way.
So what do you think the biggest challenges you have for running your business are?
I think right now it's all about the change and the access to capital. And so,
has there been a change in access to capital?
Oh, you know, immense change. So let's go back to, let's say, the 1980s or the 1990s, and you had an idea. You went to your banker, and the banker said, and he would take some risks, but he would also call somebody else and try to make that thing, try to make that event happen. Today's banker can't do that because of all the rules and the regulations and, the overreaction to risk management. Like I always tell people, risk management is not about saying no all the time. Risk management is finding out a way to, to do something.
Spoken like a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, it's,
You can always say no.
Yeah. We're working on a project over in Africa that I'm involved in. I'm going to be one of the principals. And
what kind of a project, if you can tell us?
So there is an enormous amount of natural gas over in Mozambique, and a client of mine had asked for some help in trying to get into that market. And it turned into the client after a couple trips with my colleague going over there, that it came back with all these governments saying, can you find a solution for us for this? Can you find a solution for that? And everything right now is energy and agriculture over there.
And how about water?
We've come up with some ideas. Yeah, that's part of it. So we've come up with some ideas. We have a proposal right now. We're looking for, we're going to build a couple of power barges, 100 megawatt power barges, because they lose power there all the time. So we're trying to make that, trying to make that happen. So people say, let's go back to, trying to find an answer. So people say, so what are you going to do if the government doesn't pay you? And the answer is, you go get sovereign risk insurance. So if they don't pay you, that a policy will kick in. And again, now you've managed your risk. We think, as a group of us, that the next 20, 30 years, in this world, all the action, the economic growth is Africa.
Yeah.
The natural resources over there, Exxon's over there, Anadarko, it's gonna be interesting.
Well, thank you, Wynn, for your time today. As always, is sitting with you and having an opportunity to talk with you is always exciting. Wynn and I have known each other for quite a few years now, and we've sat down across the table trying to make some stuff happen, and it's always interesting. So, Wynn, how can people get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you, either for some advice, money, or to sit on their board, or
just generally find out more about you?
Yeah.
wsargent@verizon.net.
And he'd be happy to pick up the phone or answer an email and start a dialogue.
Yeah, who knows? You never know where it can go.
Well, thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
This is David Sober on Radio Entrepreneurs from UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We are live here today at their Fall River campus, and we'll be back after these messages.